We are back. We are overflowing with talent tonight. Joining myself, of course, is Joe and Pip. But we also have special guest Kevin Lee. And retired detective Dave Daugherty.
How you doing?
We're doing good.
All right.
So I'm excited to have this because I've talked about policing with you, Dave, and I've talked about race with you, Kevin, and we talk about it often on this show, but we like to bring people together and actually solve problems. I kind of feel like if we had the NFL owners here, we could have
solved a few problems.
We could have walked through that. They wouldn't know how to handle it, so everybody would have been happy.
I think we can get them on the show.
Exactly. So I want to go around the room with my first question. Dave, when I say Black Lives Matter, what's it mean to you?
Oh, in 20 words or less? Good idea, bad act.
All right. Kevin, when I say Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter, get the same criticism now that people like MLK got when he was alive. So it's no difference. It's a different year as far as I'm concerned. I mean, people criticize civil rights leaders back in the 60s for doing the same thing that these people are doing now. We just now have CNN and Fox and 24-hour news and radio shows and all that sort of stuff and social media to put their spin on everything. Mm-hmm. And most of their spin is BS. But I'm just saying, it's just another day.
Pip, what's Black Lives Matter?
I think that it's grossly misunderstood. And okay. I think that it's a lightning rod for people to come out. And, you know, with any movement, there's people who are like, well, not all of us. And then there's like, yeah, but what about all of us? You know, why do you have to segregate it? And it's like, no, people don't understand that when you have a group that's been kept down, and I think that that's still true in this country, that when they try to assert their rights, there's always going to be backlash. And I think that that's what's happening. And that's why people still feel that they have to say all lives matter. It's like, no, you're missing the point when you say that.
Joe, Black Lives Matter.
I think Black Lives Matter is a little bit misguided in the fact that they send out the message, but most of the people that have been shot by the police were people that did not resist, that had criminal records. And they're not focusing on cases that could be taken where police brutality or a mistake by the police could be highlighted. And I don't think they're doing that because I don't think it's going to get as much press. I think the perfect example is when that unfortunate gentleman got shot in a hallway by a police officer in the city 2 years ago. Obviously it was wrong, but they didn't really focus on that. If you wanted to march on that, you could walk down the street and go, this has to stop. Yeah, it does. This man was innocent. Yeah, this man was minding his own business. Yeah, police policies have to be reviewed. Yes, they do.
Now, Joe, often on this show, you've called them a terrorist organization, and I have vehemently disagreed with you. So please explain to me why Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization.
You're destroying property. You're destroying neighborhoods. You're setting things on fire. You're attacking
police. Sounds like Philly after a Super Bowl.
It does, yeah. They're not eating horse shit, though. They're not doing
well, they got that going
even
for
them. Even they know.
Black Lives Matter,
they're smarter than the Philly fan, yes.
So I feel in that way.
Not terrorism. That's vandalism.
But it's a bad way to gather sympathy.
But I think terrorism is the wrong word. Kevin, when you hear that Joe called Black Lives Matter terrorists, a terrorist group, what do you think?
I think Joe celebrates Martin Luther King's birthday, and he was called a terrorist in the 60s. So, like I said, what's the difference? Martin Luther King was called a terrorist. He was called a troublemaker. Rosa Parks was called a troublemaker. All these people were called who fought for civil rights in the 60s, in the 50s, Marcus Garvey, and all these people. They were all called terrorists and troublemakers and all these things that are being called right now to this particular group of people. First of all, there should be no Black Lives Matter because you just said that some of these guys are getting killed have records. So my point is, if you have a bad record, a police record, it doesn't give a police a right to shoot you unless his life is in danger or something of that nature. I'm not a police officer. I know they have a tough job.
Well, let's ask the police officer. What I mean,
that's right. We have one handy tonight.
Usually
there's never around when you need one, but hey.
Now, Dave. Funny.
That's funny.
Now, Dave, when you guys are rolling up to somebody that you believe needs your attention, do you usually know their record prior to your first engagement with them on this evening?
Sometimes, sometimes not. It depends on the totality of circumstances, like with everything. So.
If you do know they have a history, does that change your interaction with them?
What kind of history are we talking about? This is
petty theft.
Well, this is the crux of the problem, though. If I can just kind of give you my two cents.
No, please. I'm sorry. Go sit over there. Out.
Your job is done. You're just gonna come up here to fix tickets. Yeah. By the way,
he's already done that for me. Thank you, Dave.
I don't know what you're talking about. You stole me $50.
Cheaper than the ticket.
I need a police friend.
First, let me start by saying this: that I understand that I'm not going to change minds. I'm not going to make people think about things differently.
Don't sell yourself short.
This is the philosophy I've always lived by. If I can just make people think differently about the way they think about things, the way they process things, that's all I ask for. You know, when it comes to dealing with people, different races, different genders, everybody, just to get them think about. Obviously, we have a perception in this world that there is bias in policing, and to some extent, it's true. The way I look at it is like this. We'll just talk about policing. We can actually liken it to other jobs too, but in any job, you're going to have 10% of the people that do a great job, that are well-rounded, that do awesome. You're going to have 10% of the people that are complete assholes, that, excuse my French, fuck everything up for everybody else.
Sorry.
And then you have 80% of the people in the middle. Now, liken that to policing. In policing, you're going to have those 10% that do a great job. You're going to have those 10% that make the rest of us look bad, okay? And then you're going to have the 80% in the middle. Now, I liken myself to, I'll be humble, I'll say I'm in the 80% in the middle. It does a good job. You know, I'm not in the 10% in the elite. That is awesome, but I like to think I'm doing a good job. So to help you understand where I'm coming from with this, to maybe think about things differently, is I'll tell you about my progression as a police officer from recruit to being a veteran to now where I am right now. Basically, if you think about it like this. Oh, actually, I'm going to go back a little bit. I don't mean to dance around too much here, but I do believe that media, kind of like you touched on before, Joe, is part of the problem, but media was also part of the solution. Going back to what you were talking about before, Kevin, with Martin Luther King,
mm-hmm.
back during the Civil Rights Movement, if it was not for the media, Martin Luther King probably would not have had as much success. Thank God the media gave him coverage, and the media actually helped in that case. And that actually got better and better and better through Rodney King to the 80s and 90s. The media actually helped. The media was the catalyst for getting law enforcement agencies to start thinking about, holy cow, maybe we're screwing shit up here. Maybe we should do things
differently. I think with the Rodney King thing opened up everybody's eyes.
That was the beginning. You know, that's when everything.
I think that's a bad example because that was a video. That's a VHS tape that was in a big giant camcorder. Remember those things?
Yeah.
Some guy off taping it. Now,
but I'm saying it opened up society's eyes when we saw that.
So did Emmett Till.
The what?
Emmett Till. You know who that is?
No.
Okay. Emmett Till was a guy who, you got to Google this. He was a kid that was murdered back in the 60s in, Alabama by a group of white kids because he whistled at a white girl and they beat him to a pulp. And the mom said, look at my son in his coffin. His body was so bad, they wanted to have a closed coffin. She goes, no, we're going to leave this coffin open so America can see what they did to my son.
Right.
And then
you know the case?
He was on the front of a cover of Jet magazine, which is a popular magazine in the urban community, but it made national news back in that day. And that started a lot of the civil rights thing also, along with the Rosa Parks.
I was talking about policing when I said
so
Rodney.
Kevin, if I can ask then, yes. Do you believe that media, you know, for the majority has helped thus far, correct? That's what I'm trying to say. Up to a certain time, it did help. However, there's a but to that.
Do I think media helps? I really can't answer that because, I mean, it's, look, does media show? No, it doesn't help.
All right. All
okay. Right. I'll tell you why real quickly.
Absolutely.
Because we live in the age now where we can see a unarmed man get shot in his car or get shot doing anything, reaching for his glove compartment. And we see this on YouTube or Facebook Live or on CNN over and over and over again. And
never Fox News.
And then, and then a jury of 12 says, it's justified. And so, and then police cameras, we talk about police cameras now that they have to wear, but a lot of times, in recent cases, and, people have been shot and all of a sudden the police cameras aren't working. So, you know, I mean, we're, the media doesn't help. Well, it doesn't change anything.
You can't blame the media. You can't blame the media for a jury to let somebody go. That's not the media's fault.
No, I'm saying I don't blame the media. I'm just saying it doesn't help.
What I'm trying to say is I believe the media first was the catalyst to giving light to problems. However, it was a however, as I mentioned before, I do believe that now the media has just, in my opinion, going above and beyond just to make every single cop, every time they can, look bad. Now, again, that's my opinion. I could be wrong.
How can they look bad with a video? I mean, when you see what makes
better news?
Oh, yeah, they report bad news. I agree. I agree that we don't report good news and police. That go back to your 90% are good, 80 are average, 10 are good.
So I'm going to tell you how that likened into my
Well, absolutely. I mean, okay. The police, by and large, even in the scariest communities, by and large, they're doing a lot of good things that doesn't get reported.
That is true.
I didn't want to start. Thank you. I appreciate it. I didn't actually want to start citing statistics. I'm not going to do that because statistics aren't going to make you think about the way you're feeling. So
no, can I tell you something that you probably don't know about me real quickly?
Sure.
7 years ago, August 6th this year would make 7 years that my sister was murdered. She's 38 years old. She was shot to death in Prince George's County, Maryland.
Wow.
So I know good police. I watch detectives deal with my family, grieving family, on a personal basis. As we were grieving, knowing that my sister was murdered, I saw detectives come in, and they had to deal with the family crying and grieving, and they were human, and they worked hard to solve that case and bring this guy to justice. I have a lot of respect for police because of that, you know.
I also have a relative
that's a police officer. So I mean, I understand both sides.
You know what? I'd say you're in the 80%, just like me. The group that you belong to, I believe you're in the 80% also. Were you willing to listen?
Yeah, I'm willing to listen.
Those 80% are willing to listen.
Yes.
That's what this round table is about, even though I'm sitting at the kiddie table over here.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
If you would have arrived before Kevin, you could have been sitting at the big boy table.
You could have been behind this table. Are you kidding me?
I had to see you last time I was here.
That was totally on purpose.
Yeah, that's right. So make the white guy with the gun put him at the small table. What a brilliant move that is.
So we can't change the media. So what we can do is stuff like this. And this is what I've always said. This is what we're doing right now. This is the crux of community policing. It's sitting down and listening to what the other person has to say. Now, what the media did was they made law enforcement trying to do self-evaluation in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. And that's been happening. Now you'll see all these, you know, commissioners and police departments trying to do community outreach, community policing, and trying to get to say, hey, tell us what we're doing wrong. We want to work it out. I would love to see more of those agencies, you know, I'm sorry, those organizations be proactive also.
Like, you said something earlier that caught my ear. You said you were talking about the middle and all that sort of stuff, the 80%.
Yeah.
And you were talking about the bad guys.
Right.
Me and Davin are professional comedians. We call out bad comedians on a regular basis. This guy sucks. This guy's bad.
To his face while he's in the
middle
of his act.
I mean,
God, I hope it's not me.
We don't.
Not saying it's not.
But we don't get that from police officers. Okay. Police officers don't call out the bad guy. See, you're a good cop. You're a good officer. But John may not be a good officer, and you, good officer, won't call out John
until frustrating.
He busts somebody's ass, and then it's on CNN.
It feels like a lot of the police, not all of them, close ranks when they have some bad apples, and that's frustrating.
Yeah, now there's a lot to that. Back in the early days, you know, before I was hired, there was that thin blue line where the cops could do no wrong, okay? Now, the problem that I had, because you may notice me doing this show, I'm a lot more open right now than I was when I was working full-time for Dad, because
right. Working full-time for me.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry.
How the hell did I get a ticket? How did that even happen?
Because there were things that I could not say, even though I wanted to so bad, because of the fact I'm an officer.
You were representing your police department.
And I may not be authorized to comment on anything. I'm not making excuses.
Okay.
I can tell you, Kevin, honestly, when I see some of the stuff I see on the news, I want to choke those stupid knuckleheads. I really do, because they make me look bad. And here I am busting my butt trying to do a good job and to win over the community. And then some idiot. Now, there's a million cops. Seriously, a million cops in the U.S. And this one idiot, these 16 idiots, these 35 idiots, these 150 idiots are making me look bad.
That goes both ways, because last night, I don't know if you watched the news last night, a police officer was killed. Did you see that?
In Colorado. Third one, like since the beginning of the year.
And I sit there and I was disgusted that this officer was taken. First of all, he's a father of twins, 7-year-old twins. And it broke my heart.
See, I'll play the other end of this.
It broke my heart. Hold on. So it goes both ways. Now, what I said to my fiance who was watching news with me, that makes the cop that pulls me over now
right. Even
more paranoid as he walks towards my car because of this dickhead, what he just did, you know? So it goes both ways, what you're saying.
I think what happens is, so there's obviously a portion of this country that is not fans of black people. So then they will see that that one black guy kills a cop. Bad enough. And then they'll see a very, very small minority of black people, not the majority, very small, cheering for it. And then I think, well, that makes black people look worse. So it's like the same thing with the bad cops. You get the worst of the worst representing everybody, and nobody wants to be painted with that stink.
I don't think anybody cheers a cop.
It happens.
Really?
Yeah, it happens.
I've never seen anybody happy to see a police officer die. I just haven't.
Have you?
No, but I did hear the Black Lives Matter chants about pigs in a blanket, et cetera. So,
but see, that's not fair because Black Lives Matter could be me.
You're not chanting pigs in a blanket.
Right. Exactly.
You're out there protesting Black Lives Matter, but you're not chanting for dead cops.
You're the
but I don't know for that sure that 10. Anybody who shows up in a group. I mean, this gets really deep, and we don't have time to get into it.
Yeah.
Look, people can show up in a group and be sent to that group.
Right. You don't know. Right, but that's why I'm saying I didn't say
the FBI
part of
did that back in the day.
No,
back,
that's why I didn't say they were part of Black Lives Matter. Yeah. I just said there are black people that do that. I think it's a very small minority. But what I'm saying is people will focus on that very small minority, they focus on the very small minority of bad police. And they go, aha, I hate them all. That's what I'm saying. That's why we need. Yeah, good that's police, black. Good black people to go, no, you're wrong, you don't represent us, and we're going to speak up to you. It's like, Joe's argument with the Muslims that he always said, well, the moderates, have to speak up. And then I turned it around last week when he said white supremacists are leading the league in hate murders this year. I go, well, then I guess white people got to step it up. If you don't want to
They've always led. What are you talking about this year?
Well, no.
They've always.
In hate murders, no.
Yes, and it's gone up since Trump's been around.
Well, I don't want to get into all this. Okay. We did it last week.
If I can,
listen to last week's show, send me a message.
Kevin, yes. By saying what I said a moment ago, I was confirming the point about the 10%, the 8%, and the 10%. I believe you and I are the 80%. And the people that said that about pigs in a blanket, they're the 10% on that side. The cops that screw shit up are the 10% on my side.
Okay.
Now, this is the 80% trying to work it out. Now,
but
go ahead. I'm sorry.
But is it enough of 80%? Because because African Americans are dying in at the hands of these bad police officers. On top of that, I mean, if you go into a courtroom, traffic court, and you look around, you don't see a lot of white guys in there. You see Hispanics and you see blacks filling up the courtrooms. In these rooms where, and you look around, you see a bunch of white cops and you see Hispanics and blacks, you go, hey, white people don't speed, white people don't run red lights. And it's just, I see it, man. It's so frustrating, to walk into a courtroom and just see that it's full, Richard Pryor had a joke years ago. He says, when him and Gene Wilder taped the movie out in Arizona, the movie that they did together, they taped it. I think they taped that movie in Arizona at a prison, and when he got there, Richard Pryor found out that the percentage of black people that lived in Arizona was at that time 12%, and he looked around and goes, how the hell did they fill this prison? There's all black people in here, So it is the same way. You go into a courtroom right now, anywhere in America, or any day, just walk into a courtroom and look around, you're gonna see blacks and Hispanics. And white cops. And that's not by design because there's no white people in there. And I know white people speed. They pass me every day.
All right, well, that's, speeding. That's your interpretation of it. I respect it. But now, if I could put you on the spot, Davin.
Uh-oh.
Hypothetically, the last couple times you were in court, what was the, the makeup? And actually, you don't even have to answer it if you don't want to.
No. Okay. We're here to be honest and fair.
Bunch of people that didn't do cops and probably got tickets. That was the fucking makeup of it. traffic court is different than criminal court.
Okay.
But it was traffic court that was brought up.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the town.
Right. That's what you just said. That's what I was looking for, though, Kevin, if you don't mind. So you don't even have to answer.
Well, thank God. I'm glad I wasn't here.
It's a town?
That was your experience.
No.
No, that's okay.
Last time I was in, is a predominantly white town. I mean, it's mixed, but it's predominantly white. There was mostly white people.
Okay.
Now, I think it depends on the town. With traffic court, it depends on the town you're stopped in.
And if I could just play devil's advocate, I'm not saying that what you're saying isn't true, Kevin, but I just happen to know somebody who works in a municipal court, and a lot of people that are not sitting in the actual court just paid the ticket and walked away. And so I don't know if it's like all the white folks just pay it because they don't want to be bothered going to court or what. But and I've gotten 3 tickets right here in Chester. So not to say that that's why they're not there. But there is a certain part of the population that just pays the fine and says, screw it.
All right, let's move this forward a little bit. So, Kevin, you've expressed to me that when you drive throughout the country on tour, you feel compelled to dress nicely, whereas I might just go in like old jeans and a heavy metal t-shirt.
Yes.
You feel compelled to dress nicely when you're going across the country. Why is that?
I have to, because I've been racially profiled more times than I can think of right now. You know me, I'm a road comic. I travel all over the country in my car.
With chainsaws.
Yeah, with chainsaws.
Do you have any weapons in the car?
Yeah. But I also travel.
Not just chainsaws.
I also travel with newspaper articles. I travel with newspaper articles. I travel with posters of me on it. You know, now that I have a book out. So I travel with my books. So I travel anything. It'd be a poster. Well,
officer, would you like an autograph before we get to the ticket?
It'd be a poster in the back of me. You know, at some comedy club where I took the poster
to try. And you're doing this to try to show you're not a threat.
Exactly. I have to do that.
Because everything in the trunk sure shows it.
That's funny. There you go. So Dave, what do you feel as a white police officer knowing that this African-American, who you've gotten to know a little bit, nice guy, feels that he has to dress a certain way just to drive to work?
Well, first of all, I hope you believe me when I say this, but race with me has nothing to do with it. Now, you don't have to answer that right now. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to use you two guys right now as an example, okay? Davin, you're dressed in jeans, you got a goatee going on, you're not shaving, you're kind of unkempt. Oh, I'm sorry, you have a...
I'm in my fucking basement! Fuck you! I'm not going to your house! Oh, look, Dave's scratching his balls! What a poor representation of the police!
Hey, man, I got a reputation, this is a studio, this is not a basement.
It's a studio basement. Trust me, we've made fucking headlines out of this basement.
When I stop a car, I start out at, we'll say, 75%, okay, being alert and conscious, okay? 75%.
What do you mean by that?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
100% would be like, I'm full alert, you know, I'm fighting with a guy, you know, whereas 75% means I'm alert and conscious.
You're talking about after you've initiated contact.
Walking up to the car, that's the most dangerous time.
Oh, absolutely.
Once I first make contact with the driver, things usually go down, 55%, 35%, 25%.
Right.
On rare occasions, they go up beyond 75%, 75%, and it usually leads to a confrontation, okay, by whoever part. Now, but the point I was going to make with Kevin, you're pretty squared away right now. Can I describe you on air?
Yes.
You're a handsome man.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, for Christ's sake. He's not the police officer. You don't got to kiss his ass.
For the record, Kevin's wearing a fedora, and I love fedora.
No, thank you. Yes.
My friends know that.
That's my trademark.
So, he's a dapper man.
You look squared away. I mean,
thank
personally,
you. Yeah.
If it's use 2 o'clock in the afternoon, okay? 2 o'clock in the afternoon. If I stop dabbing dressed like that, okay?
My fucking jeans and a waffle shirt.
You go out, you drive like that.
Yes, I do.
When I stop you dressed like that,
yes.
When I first walk up to the car, it's the same exact car, same exact violation.
I don't got chainsaws, motherfucker.
I don't know that yet.
You can't afford my car, but go ahead.
I have posters. Yes, I can, and I have posters of Kevin Lee in the trunk.
And again, this is just me.
And in your bedroom.
Yes, I do.
And I see you, and I'm at 65%. We make contact. Mm-hmm. I'm still at 65% until we start speaking.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I see you, Kev, and you're square away. You might go down to 60%, to 55%, because it's just the way you are dressed.
And that has happened.
The way you look. Yes, and now people will call. Yes, this is happening.
Let me tell you a quick story. Sure. I'm driving in Georgia, going to Florida to do a gig in Florida.
With New York plates?
With New York plates.
There's your first fuck up.
Yeah. I get pulled over by a cop. He walks up to me, and he says to me, you know, he asked my ID first. I gave it to him. He looks at me. He goes, no, I pulled you over, Mr. Lee? And I go, no. He goes, you're going too slow. I swear, true story. He goes, the speed limit is 70, and most people cruise at 75, and you're doing like 55.
That guy's 10%. That guy's complete 10%.
You know what? No. I'm going to stick up for him. Thank you, officer out of Georgia. You're fucking causing problems. You're slowing up traffic. I got places to go
in
my cheese and waffle shirt.
Lane. I was in a slow lane, and I put in about 8 hours of driving.
I'll tell you something right now, Kevin Lee. Me and Joe, if we were pulling up next to you, we'd fucking curse your ass out. We don't give a shit if you got a fedora. We're trying to get to the fucking gig, and you're doing 55? How dare you?
You New York comic, always speeding. That's why you got so many tickets.
I stopped one person in my entire life for going too slow, and the was 25. Guess how fast they were going? Five.
That's a bit tardy.
Yeah. I'd be riding an ox.
He deserved it for Dover. Well, he wanted to check me out because I had on New York plates. I already knew that. But because he saw me and he saw my appearance, and he did actually. He let me go. He didn't even run my name. He gave my license back. He walked up to the car, and I guess normally they go run your name. He didn't even run my name. He just wanted to check me out.
All right, can I tell you about a similar story then?
Yeah.
From the other side of the coin then?
Okay.
We're listening to each other. So, years ago, I'm probably about 3 o'clock in the morning in the town, okay? Car in front of me goes through the stop sign. I'm behind the car, all right? Goes through the stop sign. I stop a motor vehicle stop, 65%, okay? Get out of the car, walk up to the car, kid rolls down the window. It's like a Cheech and Chong movie, all right? You know, smoke spilling out of the car. He's like, kind of, you know? Not to mention the fact that the kid was kind of an ass.
You can curse.
He was an ass.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to be nice to the kid and be like, you know, just calm down, dude. Anyway, long story short.
Well, I think he was calm. I mean, the way you describe it.
Yeah, he's pretty much mellow, yeah.
The 17-year-old kid, fast forward, okay. So I arrest him, search the car. I find a pretty significant amount of weed, okay, in the backpack right next to the driver's seat.
Did he have a Kevin Lee poster next to the weed?
No. So I was 17, so I had to bring the headquarters and he has to be turned over to mom.
Oh, wow.
So now, the whole way up, guess what he's calling me?
What?
A racist, you to stop me because I'm black and I'm trying to, you know.
It's not because you're black. That's too much of a go-to.
Dave Chappelle with the weed flying out of the car.
I get to headquarters. Mom comes up, and guess what mom says to me? You just stopped my son because he's African-American and black. No mention the fact that he went through a stop sign. Get to the point here in a second. Not to mention the fact that there was smoke coming out of the car after I stopped him.
Right.
So you might say, well, you stopped him just because he was black. No, I stopped him because of the stop sign. But here's the question I asked his mom. I said, ma'am, it was early in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay. I was following behind your son. Okay, he went through a stop sign behind me. How did I know he was black?
Right.
And she had no response to that.
There you go.
Because you went through that stop sign with rhythm.
See, I've learned that.
And see, I had another last gig I worked for you. I was doing a gig for Davin, Dennis Ross, the gig we did at the, what's the place me and Dennis worked together?
Yeah, I know. It's Skylands.
Skyland. I got pulled over that night on the way to the gig. Mm-hmm. And the guy said it was raining. And it was a cold, rainy night, and I just saw these lights, and I pulled over, scared to death. It's nighttime. I know he didn't pull me because I was black, because I was driving a pickup truck at the time. And
what, you have an MLK speech going? I thought it was a Dodge Ram.
Driving a pickup truck.
Speakers on the top of the truck.
And it's nighttime, so he had no idea it was a brother in the truck. Man, he just pulled me over. He said I was going too fast, and I disputed that because I wasn't speeding because I was. I didn't have my glasses. I'm blind as a bat, and it's nighttime, and I'm doing like this, and I've just he ran my license, came back, didn't write me a ticket, just told me slow it down, but I was scared to death. He told me to calm down. You know, he says, calm down, man. This is about, what, a year and a half ago, maybe?
Yeah.
And this is right when a lot of stuff was happening on the news. I mean,
but what Dave is telling us, at least in Dave's case, Dave is not going to profile you on your skin color. Dave is going to profile you using his experience based on the way you're dressed.
Dressed, acting, speaking.
Well, if every police officer thought like Dave, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, every police officer doesn't think like Dave.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So why can we... How do we get to the point where...
By having this conversation.
There are guys like... Mm-hmm. Every officer is like Dave.
Well, how do we get to a point where every comic's not a hack? It's never going to fucking happen.
Hack comics aren't costing...
But hacks are bad examples of their profession. You're never going to eliminate the bad. You just try to make sure that the goods are the one you focus on.
Kevin, so you're asking what do we do about it?
Yes.
Great question. I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to say that I think that you should go first because there's a feature of this that I wanted to bring up.
Why? Because I'm white.
You are?
Pip doesn't see color. She sees cat owner, not cat owner.
Yeah. Do you have a cat?
I used to. He was black, by the way.
You didn't kill him, did you? Oh, cat lives matter.
I'll tell you after you speak, I want to tell my black police officer story real quick.
All right.
I think that there's one feature of this that you touched on just a little bit.
I thought you wanted
bit.
Him to speak.
Yeah, I do.
But only when she's done.
It's like a fucking deli. Everybody take a number.
All right, so I forgot what I was saying.
You said, Kevin, how are we going to... You said, Kevin, this is how we solve it.
Yes, so how do we solve it? Honestly, like I said in the beginning of the segment, the first and best thing we can do is with community police. This is community police. Leaders of the community and leaders of the police department have to sit down. And not do this. Not sit down and say, look, this is what we're planning on doing. This is what we're going to do. This is what we think. And then the other side goes and says, okay, this is what we want you to do. This is what we think. You sit down and you listen to the other side.
Right.
Just like we're doing right here. You know, like, I think, like, if, let's say we were actually at a community table right now, and I'm standing to respect the police officer and somebody from Black Lives Matter, even. I think we can get things accomplished because you and I are listening to each other. My experience, what's usually happened is that they will not listen to each other. They're there because they have to be there. They don't want to be there on both sides. Maybe more so on one side than the other, but there's no listening. In most cases, that's the way it used to be. Now, I believe now, because of the tension, whatever the catalyst is, because of the tension and because people actually want to make a difference, I do believe that the 80% of those people want to change it, want to change things so that people think differently.
I got to jump in. I'm sorry.
Yeah, please.
This is weird to me to hear this because the bottom line is police officers are here to protect and serve. And it's just in the back of my head, it's still disturbing that we're having this conversation.
Well, they're people, though. I mean, they're
I know,
yeah, but there's bad people in every job.
That is true. Now, here's my point. Okay, so I think recruiting's bad. For you know, I was going to ask you, did you go to high school? Here, you can't take a police officer that grew up in Iowa and went to all white high school and didn't have any interaction with African Americans, then put him in an inner city and give him a badge and a gun.
It's gonna be tough
because now, and I've had this experience. I've had an experience for a bad police officer who was from another place, and then he comes to D.C. and he's a U.S. Park Police in Washington D.C. and he's not used to being around African Americans. And he doesn't know how to deal with it, and it was bad.
I definitely would say that I do believe that backgrounds and the hiring procedures need a lot of work. And this is what happened, though. This is, again, my opinion. When I got hired, okay, I have a college degree.
Right.
I had to live in the town I got hired in. I had to live in the town just to take the test. I had to live in the town for the first 3 years after I worked there. A lot of times now you have to have a degree, which is good. I didn't have to have one back then, but I got one. Take a city like New York City now.
Okay.
You don't have to have a degree to be a New York City cop. As a matter of fact, they lowered the standards as much as they possibly can.
They're having a hard time getting people.
Right. You know why they're having a hard time getting people? Because nobody wants to be a cop. You know, honestly. The only people who want to be cops, in my opinion, you'll have those people that are called to it, you know, that like that.
Yeah.
That's how I felt. I was called to it. Then you'll have those people that are like, oh, you know, it's Saturday. I guess I'll take the test.
When did this happen? Because when we were kids, everybody wanted to be cops.
Yeah, but not anymore.
I think a lot because of what we see on TV.
That's what I was going before. The media will only say the best.
You know what? Let's be honest. Like, right after 9/11, the police in New York City had a great reputation. So I would imagine, like, the military, people felt the call to join the police right after 9/11. But unfortunately, in the years after that, it's gone.
And the military is another thing I was going to bring up real quickly was a lot of guys go into the military, you know, when they get out of high school. And when they get out, the good job to get is a police officer. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of these guys that join the military are guys who let's say, grew up in some neck of the woods of West Virginia or Ohio or something in an all-white area. And then he comes out, and the first job he gets is a police officer. And there's another guy who then grew up in an area who there's not a lot of black people around, and he has an attitude towards African Americans, and now he got a badge and a gun, and he's shipped, and he has that power, and he's a human being, he's going to abuse that power.
All right,
power.
Pip wanted to say something, then I want to say something.
I think there's an undercurrent in society that affects not only police officers, African American community, all of community, and that you touched on something before when you were saying that, you know, in Martin Luther King's day and during the civil rights movement, Rosa Parks, you used the words that they were troublemakers. And there's a thing.
No, they were called troublemakers.
They were called troublemakers. Sorry, because that is very important.
Right.
You said that they were called troublemakers. That sort of assumption, and I'm going to use an offensive term, but I think that it's to the point, that sort of assumption that they were uppity, that they were
shit,
going,
I got much more offensive terms than
no,
that.
That they were going past their place in society because there's a certain undercurrent of belief still that African Americans are less than.
And you feel like I've heard from African
marginalized.
Yes. African Americans, I feel definitely feel that way with this president. Like you hear a lot of them.
Of course
feel that
they do, because he even made a comment, and I'm trying to remember specifically what he had said.
He says grateful a lot.
Thank you. That's one of the things with the African American football players taking a knee. He said they should be grateful.
Joe uses that
and
too.
Everybody thinks because these guys have $1 million contracts that they shouldn't have an opinion.
Right.
They also don't realize what the upbringing they had and what they had to do to
get
that.
They still come from the same neighborhoods that a lot of these unarmed murders are happening. A lot of these guys, these unarmed guys aren't getting shot in nice neighborhoods. A lot of them are getting shot in the hood.
I understand.
And most of these football players or any professional athlete, in most cases, come from these bad neighborhoods.
I want to talk to something with Dave about something that's it's always been there, but he keeps on talking about community policing. So right now we're seeing a crackdown on on immigrants. And what sanctuary cities do is the right does not like sanctuary cities because the right's argument is, well, that they're breaking the law, they've broken the law, and we need to get them out. The argument for sanctuary cities is, from a lot of law enforcement actually supports sanctuary cities, and I'd like you to speak on this, because if they're afraid that you're going to get deported, you're not going to come to the police, and you're not going to report the rapist, the theft, the domestic abuser, the murderer, the drug dealer in your community. There's going to be a lot more crime if these people do not feel comfortable to come forward. So I'd like to get your opinion on this.
Well, I can tell you, first of all, in New Jersey, we're not allowed to ask people their status if they're reporting a crime. We're not allowed to ask them, are you a resident here, are you a citizen, whatever.
Is that nationally or is that
that's just New Jersey.
Okay.
And I would say it's probably reflected in most of the states across the country. So we can only ask you your status if we've arrested you, and we'll fingerprint you and find it out. But if somebody reports a crime, we are not allowed to, by attorney general guidelines, we are not allowed to ask status. However, to answer your question, though, I would say we should do everything we possibly can to make people understand that they should be reporting stuff and that they'll be safe, just like I just did.
I think
all your listeners know that in New Jersey, that they can report a crime and not be asked their status. And if they do, they get in trouble.
So then where is the disconnect? Why are the minorities now afraid to come more so than they were? Well, even though Obama deported a whole bunch of people,
if
too.
I can ask you this. Do you think that the minorities are afraid because you've spoken to several of them or because that's what the media told you?
Well, I mean, listen, I've never asked anybody their immigration status, so I don't know if they're legal or illegal, to be honest. So to be fair, I could only go by the media, but every time I meet a Latino person, I don't go, legal or not legal? That doesn't come up in conversation.
I can say that in my experience as a Border Patrol officer, that people who have helped me, I didn't ask their status, and that's why I think we should do whatever we can to encourage. If they feel that they're a sanctuary city or not, okay, we shouldn't be making people feel like they're going to be crushed out by coming just to talk to
So your argument would be, if sanctuary cities are going to bring down local crime, if we need to call something a sanctuary city to get it across to illegals' heads that we're not going to ship you off, then so be it.
I think it should be like that everywhere. I think that people should understand.
But we don't have that right now. We don't have that right now.
But I think the whole title of sanctuary is just messing stuff up. People shouldn't be saying, hey, we're a sanctuary city.
I agree.
Everybody should be in a safe town, community, or state. Every person should feel like they could come and talk to the cops. Now, by saying that this town is a sanctuary city, people might have a false perception of what they can expect there.
Yeah.
But it does mean something, because you hear the president say, we're not going to, with New York, because New York's a sanctuary city, we're going to cut off funds to New York. And New York is at the forefront on the war on terror. I mean, and you hear him saying that. So what would you say to the president? I mean, if you could.
I can tell you this about President Trump. And I'll keep it at this. I'll tell you, I'm a registered independent. I think you know that.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my answer to Trump for his philosophies and procedures and policies. I respect the office of the president, even if the president himself does not. Make sense?
Does.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so I brought up Trump, to be fair. I wanted to ask you, I was trying to get you on for the better part of a year. No, because there was something that happened in Long Island, and we talked about it on the air, and I wanted to get your opinion of it. But we haven't been able to get you on there. In Long Island, President Trump spoke in front of a bunch of police officers. And he said, was it in your county, Joe?
Yes, Suffolk County.
He spoke in Suffolk County. And he said, you could argue whether he was joking or not joking. I don't know. But he said, when you're putting them in jail, when you're putting them in the squad car, bump their head a couple of times. He said that. And then you saw the police behind applauding.
You didn't see me applauding. When he said that, I wanted to reach to the TV and choke him.
Okay, that's why I want to get your take on that.
Because, again, that's another guy who's making me look bad by what he said.
But when
and
he was...
And those other cops that are applauding, that's ridiculous. That pisses
me off. if you were there and the president's in front of you, you would have stood with your hands at your side?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, on that matter, he was referring specifically to MS-13, where it is festering in the town of Central Islip. And innocent people, they're killing innocent kids, torturing them.
But you got to understand, when a police officer is putting somebody in a car, they haven't been convicted of anything yet. They're not a criminal yet. They're just
using excessive force against somebody who's been arrested is probably
right.
Even if it's MS-13 or not, if it's you know, Bundy or Manson, I don't care. MS-13, you still have to treat them.
See, I just look at, like, when President makes statements like that, I look at, like, he's making Dave's job harder.
And he's pissing me off.
So, Dave, can I ask you, because I think Davin told me something when you asked me to come and do the show, that you didn't think President Obama was
a
good president for police. Can you explain to
Absolutely.
Me why?
Okay. So, let me go back to the first time Obama ran. I actually voted for Obama.
Okay. Twice? Once?
Once.
Okay.
Didn't vote the second time, actually.
Okay.
Chickened out.
Chicken out? Is there barbed wires and alligators?
No.
You look at Romney's hair that moment. Okay.
Afraid you were going to get run over by a truck trying to eat a red M&M?
I remember, honestly, that Obama, when he was running for his first election, mm-hmm. he had a message of hope and unity.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, how great would that be? Because that's the way I feel. We should be coming together.
Okay, right.
How great would that be? We finally have a president now who's African-American, and he's saying we're coming together in hope and unity. I was hoping that would be the case throughout the entire administration. What happened as a cop, though, especially after 9/11, some things began to change how I felt about President Obama because of what he was saying.
Now, did this change under Bush? Because you said after 9/11.
Actually, in the beginning of the segment, I was going to go towards how I felt about my entire career.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll talk about 9/11 and Bush later if you want. But, like, with Obama, though.
So you felt the change under Obama?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, my change towards him.
Okay.
Your question is basically, I felt that Obama was anti-law enforcement. Is that?
Yeah.
And Joe has voiced that opinion, too.
I don't think he was. No, actually. Okay.
And I'm going to tell you. I want to rebuttal. Okay.
The problem I had with Obama, and you can glean your own answer from what I'm going to say. The problem I had with Obama was every time a cop got in trouble, whether he was vindicated or not, before the facts of the case came out, Obama was always saying, law enforcement has an issue. Law enforcement has to fix this. Law enforcement's messed up in so many words.
So you felt he jumped to the gun?
Yes, but there's two things. He jumped to the gun, but he said law enforcement instead of saying officer douchebag from this city and officer douchebag from this city.
Okay.
He said law enforcement.
I've never heard that expressed before. Okay, that makes sense.
That does make a lot of sense. But that makes a lot of sense.
Now Joe said last week, and I said, well, Joe, I don't. Let's talk about this next week. This week, Joe said that he thought Obama, besides not, didn't like the cops. Was it you or other people? I don't want to put words in your mouth. That felt Obama is racist. Was
no,
that you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Then I apologize. That's why I wasn't sure. But I've heard a lot of white people say.
Well, let me say this.
Oh, well, hold on. I've heard a lot of white people say Obama was racist and he started this divisiveness. So I get Dave's point, and I never heard that before. So, all right, so you weren't prepared for that. So, but you don't. Did you feel, Joe, that that Obama was racist?
No.
Did you feel that, Dave? No, but you've heard this. You've heard that, right?
I'm sure.
Oh, of course.
I've argued with people on Facebook 1,000 times that Obama
Everybody's
was racist.
Heard it. It's up to the individual person to decide if it's
But I can never
or not.
I can never get examples, and I've never, you know, I'll be honest with you. I've challenged people before. I go, "Well, give me the speech that Obama gave that was anti-law enforcement." But you just provided a little nuance to it, which I'd never heard before. And then I go, okay, you know what? If I was in this position, I wouldn't want to be painted this way, too. He needs to be – Obama should have been more specific. And Obama's so good with words.
Yeah,
but you had to see what was going on in the country at the time. And no, it's not good to paint the whole
law enforcement community,
yeah. Nor is it good to paint all black guys with a hood as a thug, exactly. You know? So
you wanted more nuance.
I just wanted first to just comment on the facts.
I don't know if that makes you anti-cop because he didn't just point out.
I don't think to
John
you,
Blow
I don't. I don't think to
jerk.
You or I it does. But if you're in there every day trying to do your job and that
right.
affects you and people who look up to Obama
yeah.
and respect Obama says law enforcement, I could understand how that paints him.
I kind of felt betrayed because it wasn't the unity message he was saying.
I could get that. I'd never heard that before.
I never heard
defense,
that
he's
sense.
The only, it makes a lot of sense. In Obama's defense, he don't need me to defend him, but I'll make this point. He's the first African-American president. He wasn't always a president. He wasn't always a senator. So, and he's made this statement that as a civilian, he's been racially profiled.
As he said, with Trayvon, that could have been my kid.
As a civilian, he's been called the N-word. No other president in the history of this country has been called the N-word or been racially profiled by police. President Obama has been racially profiled many times in his life before he became a senator or a president. He's probably the only president in the country who's been called the N-word, too.
All right. Well,
okay? So my point is, to give him the benefit of the doubt, he looks at police the same way I look at police because he's been a victim of police.
Okay.
So when you're a victim of something, look, if you marry a woman who's been abused by her ex-husband physically, and then you two fall in love and y'all married, but her ex-husband beat the shit out of her for years, the first time you fly off the handle and you guys have an argument, she's probably going to think that you're going to hit her like her ex-husband.
You make a good point, Kevin. Think about it the other way, though. Like, remember the example I gave about the kid before, all right? I said before, I've been called a racist.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times, okay? All kinds of racist jokes against me, and also cop jokes. However.
Are cops a race now?
However, I don't let that dictate how I deal with that community.
Right.
When I, on the other end. Like
you're a lot more nuanced than a lot of other people.
Can we get a jerk cop in here the next time, man? You bring this nice guy.
I don't deal with it. Why would I be friends with a jerk cop?
We need one on this show.
No.
Hold on. I'll go race up and down in front of.
I deal with assholes on social media. I don't invite him into my house, except Joe.
He wants a guy. You know, you people got to understand. You got to stay a lot.
What do you
like? Like, who is that office? Who is the detective on Barney Miller?
That's why you're both here, because you can both express yourself.
I know.
Radio doesn't work if you got a bunch of buffoons talking. Except when we talk. It seems to work that way.
I'm just joking.
You bring an Officer Luger from Barney Miller. You know, Barney, you got...
All right, let's go around. Pip, is Trump pro-cop?
Honestly.
Is he pro-cop? I think he thinks he is.
What do you think he is?
No.
Joe?
Yes, I do.
Kevin?
I think Trump's pro-Trump.
Well, he's that too.
Dave, do you think he's pro-cop?
I think he's pro-cop, and that's why he's messing it up for us.
Explain that.
Because.
That's not an explanation.
Okay, next topic.
and furthermore.
Look at what I was.
Because, you know what? The guy, when he has diarrhea of the mouth, when he opens it up, it's just like. And let's put it this way. Let's say he actually wants to make a valid point and do what we had talked about with Obama versus Obama. Instead of saying, okay, law enforcement. He just says this cop is an ugly. Whatever he said, if it's positive for law enforcement, the majority of the country is going to think that he's a knucklehead, so therefore, whatever he's saying is bullshit.
Interesting.
A lot of these police shootings happened on Obama's watch. Any other president, let's say it was a white president in office at the time, would he have to have dealt with that the way President Obama was asked to deal with it? Like Trayvon Martin, for example.
There was a pressure on him to speak for a whole community where a white president wouldn't have to speak for white people.
Exactly. No, President Bush wouldn't have been asked to speak on Trayvon Martin.
But I think President Bush would speak to these things. I think I don't know.
I think he would.
Yeah, I think he would speak.
I don't know why I like President Bush, but yeah.
Yeah, but they all looked at Obama.
What you just said, I never thought about that. The fact that maybe Obama felt pressured to speak about it.
He had to, because one, he had to speak for the he had to speak for it. A lot of African Americans are hurting and live in fear of police officers. He had to speak for it. President Obama still gets a lot of flack from African Americans because they don't feel he did enough for them.
Do you see what you just did, though?
What?
You just got me to think about things differently, about the way I think. All right. First thing I said in the show.
Davin brought it together. He's the man.
Yeah. I am the man.
It's a good show, Davin.
Thank you. I try.
That's a good point.
Let's see. So I tend to agree with Kevin. I do not think Trump is pro-law enforcement, especially with the way he's, and I want to get to this in a second, I think he's pro-Trump. Now, segueing into that, what do you think about the attacks on the FBI? They are law enforcement. What is it? Talk about the meaning, I would think, but I might be wrong.
Well, see, this is one of those times when I say that he has no respect for the office. Can you tell I have a little bit of anger with
you hide it better than
you gotta control your emotions.
And I'm gonna
Third outbreak you have.
Kev, get the chainsaws. I feel a little unsafe.
Yeah, I'm very unhappy and displeased. I hope I'm not yelling too loud.
I'm slightly perturbed. Hope you guys can take my tone.
That's good. He's got to be in a situation.
That's why he's a good cop. He doesn't fly off the handle.
Right, right.
I can't really comment on it because I'd have to actually read what he said about like the memos and stuff like that. Did he say the FBI is a bunch of knuckleheads, or did he say?
Well, no. At one point, he compared our intelligence to the Nazis. He did that at one point. Wow. We talked about that on the show.
Yeah. Thank God I'm retired.
But he hasn't done that with local police. But he's done that with the FBI and I think the CIA too. So, well, I just wanted to get your take because, you know, they are your brothers in some sense. They are law enforcement.
Well, put it this way. If some members in the FBI did some messed up stuff, we shouldn't be judging the entire FBI. That's my whole point.
Right. You know? Yeah, that's
we
true.
We shouldn't be judging the whole FBI on a few bad apples.
What would you do? But he's really going after the leadership. So say you had a governor going after your chief. What as you're a foot soldier, what's that do for your morale?
Well, it depends. My chief, and she's not, by the way, but hypothetically, if my chief was a knucklehead and the governor or the state police came in and said, you got a problem, she's messing your stuff up, in that case, I'd be like, yeah, get her out of here.
So,
for the record, chief, you've been awesome.
So you would take it, well, if the governor has a point, I could say, but what happens if you're unsure? You don't know if the governor has a point or not. What's that do to the morale of the rank and file?
Well, it causes concern. But most of us would have the attitude, wait and see, as long as it's expeditious. Expeditious. That works. Fast. Better.
All right. I think his attacks on the FBI are not good. But I am not law enforcement. I've never been part of a team in that way. But I just don't see how it benefits. I think if there's valid complaints, it'll come out in the wash.
Right, that's what I said. Let the facts lay come out and don't say a word until we know the facts.
I think when he says, I've been totally vindicated on a document that didn't vindicate him, it's like, dude, you don't, just shush. Yeah. Just go back to calling the Democrats treasonous. You're better at that. Let's go.
Reading is fundamental.
Aye. All right.
When we get to porn. I'm sorry.
I didn't know you wanted to play the. Oh, we'll do that, and then we'll.
Boy, you are retired. You didn't say anything last time.
No, there's a reason why he did that.
What do you think about parking? I really can't answer that. But yeah.
Before
no,
we get to...
I want to see Jess.
Joe, show him yours. All right. So I think I got the answer, but Kevin. Yes. I'll go to Kevin and Dave. Yes. Then we'll have Dave tell his story, and then we'll take a break. All right. What do you think needs to be done in the minority community and law enforcement to de-escalate tensions, to get more of this thing going on where people are listening?
Unfortunately, I don't see it happening.
But what would you like to see happen?
I would like to...
And change starts with us. Smart probably said that.
I would like to... I'm 52 years old. I cannot get in my car, and haven't gotten in my car in the past 30 years, and I drove off from my house or my hotel and said, I can get pulled over and killed today. And that's a scary reality.
How do you feel?
Every African American lives with this. Every African American lives with that fear. It's just not me. It's just probably 99%. I mean, even in ages, not even an age thing. My dad is still alive, and he's 76 years old, and he probably feels that way when he gets in his car.
How does that make you feel as law enforcement when you hear, you know, Kevin's a big guy?
It makes me feel like we've got a lot of work to do.
Okay.
We have a lot of work to do, and I don't know. I don't have the answers. I think it starts, you know, the police officers, the police force has to revamp. They have to find a way.
It's hard when people don't want the jobs.
It starts on their shoulders. It's not on the shoulders of the victims. And I think I'm not saying African Americans aren't criminals. We're criminals, and everybody else is criminals. And everybody who are criminals go to jail. That's what the system's set up for.
But
jail's also a business.
It is.
And it's been
privatized.
And that's a problem because now you got a Fortune 500 company. Prisons are Fortune 500 company now. Now you got to fill these beds because there's jobs and people got to eat, you know. And now you got to put people, you know, your kids aren't going to want to fill those beds, you know. My kid's going to fill those beds.
But I got a question. I'm sorry.
I know that's deep, but that's real.
We actually, and I, much as you don't want to believe it, I was here the last time we was here. We were having that conversation.
I try to block you out of every show.
I understand that. Now, we were having this conversation. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a chance to
Maybe you were. Maybe Pip was out.
It was. She was. I told
you. I should have. You know, that's my bad. I should assume she's never here. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, she was not here last time I was here.
Now, the one thing I'm and you were saying a lot of young black men are getting incarcerated and they're getting put into this system of you know, this whole business of jail. But my question was, what were the crimes that they were being convicted of?
You know,
I think there's a lot of drug offenses that they're in jail for. And now Sessions has upped it with the marijuana thing. So there's just going to be more young black people in
jail.
There's
so many young black guys in jail for misdemeanors or crimes that of course the white people aren't in jail for. But now you're legalizing marijuana in certain states, and 35-year-olds white men are turning into millionaires now because of and the same guy in Brooklyn is going upstate to serve some time.
Right.
Now, you know,
do you feel on your end? Do you feel that's a lot of arrests that you just seem to be filling up the prison system? As far as the drug laws that young, you know, black men are getting convicted of.
He locks people up. He don't send them to jail.
Yeah, it's not on Dave.
It's not on the
Dave doesn't meet out the sentence, you know.
It's on the crimes, but just the sentence.
A kid smoking weed and blows a stop sign, Dave's job is to bring him in and do whatever. What happens to him after that? It's not really up to Dave. It's up to the prosecutor.
It's a bigger system. It's the prosecutors and the judge system, you know.
Yeah.
It's the guy in the black robe or the lady.
Wouldn't one way to fix...
I didn't mean to cut you off, but is that essentially...
I'm just saying it's much bigger than the police force. It's just a whole supremacy system that just can't be changed in America, and that's just a reality we got to learn to live with.
All right, Dave. So, what would you like to see done to de-escalate the situation between minority communities? We should not forget, minorities are also police officers. Not every police officer is white. We need to remember that. But I'll let him answer, then you'll tell your story. Okay. I know what you wanted. All right, so what do you think needs to be done or could be?
Communication, understanding. That's what I've always said, those two things.
You happen to work in a very progressive police department, by the way.
Yeah.
But you guys are doing things we've talked about this before.
We are all about community outreach, and now... It does make me upset, though, Kevin, that you feel like it can't be changed.
I don't think an African-American police is going to shoot me because I'm black.
Probably
because
you're
black. That don't mean he's not going to treat me like shit when he pulls me over.
All right, so tell the story.
I used to be a street performer in Washington, D.C. Before I started working the big stages and all that sort of stuff. I was harassed by a black police officer almost every day during my street performing career. He was a motorcycle cop. He would come by...
Was he harassing other street performers, or?
No, he would just come by and pick on me like crazy, and ride me hard, and threaten to lock me up if I didn't get off this corner or whatever. The white police officers, part of the U.S. Park Police, at that time, didn't bother me. I had a lady who used to ride the horse. She comes in on a horse, walks right by me, didn't bother me.
I know a Philly fan would like to walk behind that horse.
I knew that was coming.
Fun snacking.
Good yum, snacking. Yum, yum.
Put some sea salt on that anyway.
Sea salt.
Hey, sea salt will fix anything.
Yeah, sea salt fixes anything.
No, now we're giving recipes on this show.
The shit recipe, yeah. No, but seriously, I have a bad experience. You know, a lot of African-Americans will tell you, too, man, they don't want to get pulled over by a female cop.
Oh, I don't want to get pulled over by a female cop.
And they don't
want to
get pulled over by a black cop. I mean, because of the recent unarmed shootings that happened over the last 3 years, you know, mostly white cops and African American males, but usually black people in the hood or anywhere say, "But what? A black police officer pull you over? You're not getting any slack. They're gonna because they have something to prove."
That's what I was gonna ask. Because do you think
so
that they have more?
They have more to prove. So
they're gonna
be harder on you. And you know, it's that code blue thing that we hear about. You know, that respect thing. So they're cops. You know, they're not pulling me over because they're racist. They're just pulling me over because you know, or if I did something bad. But when they come up to me, they're gonna give me a hard time. And make your life miserable.
Well, you see on the cop shows, and I'm not saying that television is representative of real life in any way, but I'm saying on a lot of the cop shows
you mean
see...
fat guys can't bang hot little women to be their wives for the rest of their lives? Sitcoms are lying to me? I was eating and I was going to get a size zero. I thought I could be 300 pounds.
How fat's his wallet? That's
these are blue-collar fat guys on TV.
Yeah, no.
Not real.
No.
Fuck.
Kevin James, no.
No. Damn it!
But what I'm going to ask is, oh my God, I got derailed so easily with that.
Davin's good at that.
I know.
Thank you.
But you know, you see on the cop shows and stuff when there is an African American policeman and the guy is always saying to him, "Come on, cut a brother some slack," or you know, "Are you going to help me out?" And it's like, what a position to be in. It's like. That's bad. But I mean, like, a lot of people are generalizing.
I think they're looked at as traitors.
Are you, yeah, like, you're a traitor to your community because you're doing this to me. I mean, that's an added pressure, don't you think?
I don't know any African Americans that feel that way.
Really?
You know, no. Look, something bad happens, first thing you do is you dial 911.
Right.
And the police are going to show up, you know? So,
right,
and you need their help. You know,
I mean,
somebody's stealing my car,
guy.
I'm going to call a cop. Somebody breaking my house, I'm going to call a cop.
Yeah.
Somebody murdered my sister, we're going to call the cops,
yeah.
Right?
You happen to live in a good area, though, no?
Well, I do now, but I'm just saying. I'm saying we need cops.
Yeah.
African Americans need cops just as much as anybody else need police officers.
Absolutely.
So we don't hate police officers.
No, I'm just saying.
We're not anti-police. We're anti racial profiling and bad police. And that's
all right. Let's end this segment on something proving that this area is not safe for anybody. So Pip and I know Joe was out for this show. Pip and I were doing a segment on tips to do when you get pulled over by the police to keep you safe. So I found this article, and then Dave gave us some extra tips, his take on it.
Oh, cool.
And now Pip was telling the story of how her husband, Mr. Helix, got pulled over, and he one of his jobs besides radio is he's a toy packer. And unfortunately, this broke out. There was a lot of this throughout Pip's story. There was a lot of gay porn sound effects with this. Now, David told his fellow officers, he was still working on the police at the time, "Hey, I gave some tips. Check it out." That really didn't cross my mind when I was playing stuff like that. So as it turns out, Dave got a little guff. So Dave has never told me the story. So we're going to close this segment with Dave telling us what happened. I'll shut that off for you.
That footage from upstairs.
We're all still mesmerized by the sound effects.
Dave's excited. You can't tell, but he's always laughing.
That was good sound effects, man.
Pip found him herself.
So I sent you the email with some tips for your show that day, and I listened to your recorded version of it in my office, by the way.
Okay, hope you had it cranked up.
While I'm working. And yes, as a matter of fact.
With the lieutenant.
Chief, come in.
I'm in the detective lieutenant's office, my office, and I have my cheap, you know, $5 Wawa speakers cranked up as far as I could possibly crank them to
Wawa.
Hear you guys talking.
Oh, it was a low recording?
Well, it's just my computer stopped.
Look at you worried about a sound quality, which is a good thing, I guess. Yeah.
Are you going to worry about it?
So here I am listening to it, and the part where you put the gay porn on, which was...
By the way, her fault.
But it was you, though, was it not?
I did.
It's a good interrogator.
I was talking about toy packing, and he took it in that direction.
So you guys are having a great conversation about, you know, my tips and points and whatnot and toy packing, and all of a sudden, just
toy packing.
My bosses comes by... You hear this gay porn emanating out of the office. Exactly. Full blast. So now I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like fumbling to try and turn the volume down. It doesn't work. So now I'm trying to unplug the speakers. I'm not going to have pencils over on my desk and stuff like that. And my boss, one of my administrators, is just looking at me and goes, "What are you doing?"
That's funny.
It's a
show
like,
I'm on.
Yeah.
Where are your hands?
And I said... Nothing.
So you know,
hysterical.
Which I realized.
By the way,
the words came out of my mouth. It's probably not the best thing.
By the way, now you know how we feel when you fucking pull us over. And we don't have a good answer. It's fucking hard when you're on the spot.
Nothing.
I realized nothing was probably not the best choice of words. I said, "Oh, I'm listening to my friend's radio show.
They just happen to be on right now."
He says. Did you pay for that?
Did you pay for that?
Yeah. As in,
Oh! Well, no, it's free.
So I told him the whole story. He left and walked away. Now, here's the more troubling part, though, is that after that happened, I'm still listening to it on full blast, and I don't care.
Now you're into it.
My boss knows
that's
what I'm
funny.
Doing. So now, three more cops walked past my office. Yeah. Didn't even bother stopping. So what does that tell you?
Dave's just busted him more perps.
I did not want to see what was going on in that room, is what it tells me.
This detective's got his nightstick out. I guess he's going to interrogate
him. I got to make a confession. I didn't know it was gay porn.
You didn't know that was a dude?
No, I knew it was a dude, but I thought it was a dude doing a girl. I didn't know it was a was like two guys.
Let's go to the video.
Now, I don't see the video, but I'm just saying.
I think it's all okay.
How do you know that's two guys?
Because I think Pip told us.
I told him so.
Okay, so, okay, you told him so. Yeah. So, actually, I didn't know it was gay porn. Okay, you can't
so
tell.
So your erection is perfectly justified?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Well, I lost it after you told me it was gay porn.
There were parts slapping. It didn't matter what it was at the moment.
All right.
I didn't hear the word John. That feels good to you. Well, thank you, Bobby.
Sorry. Oops.
Sorry, Officer Dave.
We won't play with our gay porn when you give us tips anymore.
Speak for yourselves.
All right.
Have you seen my arm prop? I have these two giant arms. You've seen me do it before, right?
What?
I have these two giant white arms. They're okay. White arms that I put over my regular arms on stage.
Okay.
And I do, you see me do this at one of your shows? You put over by a cop and I put my arms up and they're white.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
And he goes, oh, you're free to go.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
You see that? Yeah. That's and these great. Giant arms I put over. Oh, you're free to go. Thank you.
And then if you got shot, Joe would say, well, you weren't following orders. You shouldn't put up your prop arms.
That's funny. Oh, I thought you saw that, yeah.
No, I haven't. All right. Thank you both, gentlemen. You guys can stick around. We got one more segment to go. I thought it was very good, very enlightening. On the break, new music from Exite Project featuring CK would take it over, and you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. Short break.